of endless light, their anthems ring as they all sing with angels shining bright. Each fight and scorn they sojourn in, but now a glorious day come here. Those in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant to us who follow your blessed saints in all virtues and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys that you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first lesson for the observance of All Saints' Day is written in the seventh chapter of the Revelation of St. John, beginning at the second verse. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, Do not harm the earth and the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed. 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben were sealed. 12,000 from the tribe of Gad. 12,000 from the tribe of Asher. 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali. 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh. 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon. 12,000 from the tribe of Levi. 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar. 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun. 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph. 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from whence have they come?" And I said to him, "Lord, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them by day, nor the moon, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Amen. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. The epistle lesson is written in the third chapter of St. John's first epistle, beginning at the first verse. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called sons of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's sons now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like unto him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Alleluia! Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Alleluia! Gospel is written in the fifth chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the first verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father, worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, in the life of the world to come. Amen. Son, and Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of emphasis on talent, especially when people are students in school. And sometimes I think this inadvertently sends the wrong message to children that other factors like just being willing to work hard and try are not as important as just raw talent. Consider Barry. Barry, as a child, was told that, Scott Barry was told as a child that he was a slow learner. And it was true. Basically, I got a lot of ear infections as a kid, he explains. And this led his problem to the problem of processing information from sounds in real time. It was always, he said, I was always a step or two behind the rest of the students in my class. So halting was his academic progress in the first couple years of school that, in fact, he was placed in special ed classes. He repeated the third grade. Around that same time, he took an IQ test in an anxiety-ridden session that he said was harrowing. He scored so low that they sent him to a special school for the learning disabled. It was not until age 14 that finally an observant special ed teacher took Scott aside and asked him why he wasn't in more challenging classes. Until then, Scott had never questioned his intellectual status. He assumed that his lack of talent would put him at a very low ceiling on what he might be able to do in his life. Meeting a teacher who actually believed in his potential was a critical turning point, a pivot away from this is all I can do to who knows what I can do. At that moment, Scott started wondering for the first time, who am I? Am I a learning disabled kid with no future or something else? So to find out, he signed up for every challenging class his school had to offer. He took Latin. He signed up for the school musical. He joined the choir. He began to learn the cello. In fact, he did so well with the cello that he would practice sometimes 9 hours a day, frequently skipping lunch to get his cello out. I was driven to show someone, anyone, that I was intelligently capable of anything. By senior year, he was second chair in the youth orchestra, and he was doing well in all his honors courses. In fact, the only thing he didn't do well on was testing. The ACT, that dry throat this morning. But he eventually got into Carnegie Mellon University and graduated Phi Beta Kappa. And currently, Scott Barry Kaufman is a tenured professor at the University of Pennsylvania in the Ivy League. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? See, this word for poor, tokus, in the Greek, often is translated as like a beggar or a person of poverty, but also can mean one that doesn't have abilities. You know, they can't think very well. You know, they're not very smart, right? Just like Scott Kaufman, Barry Kaufman was told that he would never be a success academically. He had no future there. So the poor are those who are considered by the world to have no future. And in many ways, they are kind of they're a good representation of the true Christian believer. Because the true Christian believer understands clearly that they have no future in this world. They understand that from the standards of God's kingdom, they are poor in spirit. They have no coin that would enable them to purchase their forgiveness from God. No, they understand the true Christian is tokus. He's hypotokus, he's ikus, he's poor because he understands that in front of God, He is poor and needy and dependent on others. He is a beggar. In fact, this word for poor is seen over 100 times in the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, which the ancient church considered to be better canon than even the Hebrew. 39 times it represents the poor, the afflicted, the humble. 21 times it stands for the low, the weak, and the poor, the thin. 11 times the needy and the poor, and so on. And often these scriptural references are referencing economic poverty, right? Economic poverty, such as Proverbs 13:8, where Solomon writes, "The ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor does not hear rebuke." Or from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, where we read about how Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus with it and wiped his feet with her hair so that the whole house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, the one who would later betray Jesus, all he did was criticize the fact that that spikenard should have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. But we know the reason why he said it, because he was a thief. He wanted to get his cut, as thieves do. And finally, in Luke 21, tells us how Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting just 2 mites. So he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor woman put in more than all, for all the others put in their offerings for God out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had." Thus we see how the physically poor do perceive the importance of God's gifts more than the economically wealthy. And so that there is some type of spiritual connection between the two, sometimes very clear, sometimes less so, but it's always there. It's always there. And maybe that's because the poor do have a special place in God's heart. In fact, throughout the scriptures, one of the scriptural motifs you'll see weave throughout the entire canon of scripture is this idea that God cares about 3 primary constituencies. He cares about the poor, the widow, and the orphan. That's why in Psalm 68, verse 5, God declares that he is a father to the fatherless and he is a defender of the widow. In Job 29:12, God says, "Because I rescued the poor who cried for help and the fatherless who had none to assist them." Psalm 82:3, God recalls how he defends the weak and the fatherless and upholds the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Yes, in fact, God even pays attention to the wages of the poor and whether they are withheld or not. Something to think about if you're an employer. Yes. There are valid reasons, evidently, clearly, to conclude that God blesses the poor. And yet, today in the Sermon on the Mount, he shifts his focus away from economic poverty, which the world understands pretty good, to the actual true poverty, the poverty of the spirit, right? Because, you know, this pivot is very interesting because historically, we live in a time that has experienced fabulous physical wealth, where even the poorest economically among us really live and have many, many benefits that the rich in other times of history could never even imagine, like air conditioning. It's amazing, isn't it? Or electric lights, things like that. It's just amazing. And yet, even though we're physically fabulously wealthy as a culture, I think spiritually we live in a culture that is burdened by grinding spiritual poverty. It kind of reminds me of an incident that occurred in the Gospel of Mark. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, there's this incident where this man, he's called a rich young ruler, he comes running up to Jesus and he kneels before Jesus and he says to Jesus, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?"
And then Jesus replies to him. He says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and father. And he answered and said, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. But he went away sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Notice, he went away sad at this word and went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And that sounds a lot like the American Christian, doesn't it? The Alabama Christian, the Fair Hope Christian. I mean, we want to follow Jesus, but we have great possessions. And that's when Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So, who are the poor, the real poor, the poor that inherit the kingdom of heaven? Well, it doesn't have to be economically poor, right? But they are the ones to whom riches have no mastery over them, like the rich young ruler. You know, he said he thought he was serving God, but he was really serving mammon, because when the showdown came to where he had to do what Christ did to follow him, he could not give up the mammon. Right? Because whichever God you give up in the showdown, that's who your God is. Right? If the secular activity is more important than God, then Jesus is not your God. Right? That's just the truth. And that's why Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? Because they are the ones that, whether they have possessions or not, what the kingdom that matters to them is the kingdom that comes only from Christ. And so we need to ask ourselves, which kingdom do we want? The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of earth? For both have specific characteristics, right? Right, they do. We heard about some of those characteristics in the epistle today, right? Heaven is the place where the sun shall not strike us by day, nor the moon by night. It is called by Jesus the paradiso, the place where thieves cannot break and steal, where moth and rust do not destroy, right? That's where heaven is. It's the place where we will neither hunger nor thirst anymore. It's the place where God will wipe away all our tears. And then there's the kingdom of the earth, the kingdom which we love frequently more than we love heaven. But, you know, you go with what you know. How many of us have been in heaven? But this earth is a valley of the shadow of death. And it's death that comes for all of us eventually, sometimes very, very, very profoundly and swiftly, like we see all the conflict around the world right now, and in our own communities and cities, the lawlessness, right? I mean, we see it everywhere around us. It comes through us through disease. It comes through us through just our bodies wearing out and dying, because the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die, and it is the doom of man since the fall into sin that we all will die, right? And that is what the kingdom of this world ultimately has for us. It will distract us for a while, but the ultimate end is death. And that's why Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the entire world and yet lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, it's like the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, right? From Luke. You know, where Jesus you know, not Jesus, but Abraham is the speaker there, but Jesus is telling the story. How Abraham says to the rich man in hell, he said, in your life you had your good things, and now you're in torment. And likewise, Lazarus in the world, he had his bad things, and now he is here with us. He's in the bosom of Abraham, right? He's in heaven. I mean, I think the kingdom of heaven is the more desirable of those two options, don't you think? I think it is. And that's why Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. So who are these poor in spirit? Well, as I said to you earlier, I think they are authentic Christians. And the authentic Christian, the authentic Christian believer, are all who believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they know that that is the only salvation they can receive is from the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that they are utterly poor and impoverished and lack any ability to purchase the forgiveness of their sins. That salvation must be by grace through faith through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world on the cross. Yes, the true poor in spirit understand and know that Jesus is the only author and perfecter of their faith, as we read about in the epistle, second epistle. That only beneath Christ's cross can we find our righteousness, the righteousness which Jesus earned for us and gives to us as his gift, which is the only righteousness that his Father will accept from us, the righteousness of Christ. And that this righteousness is given to us when we are born again of water and the Spirit. For in baptism, the old passes away and everything becomes new. So that in baptism, Jesus' death on the cross becomes our death on the cross. And Jesus' resurrection from the grave becomes our resurrection from the grave. And finally, the poor in spirit understand correctly that when they come to the Lord's Supper, when they come to the Lord's Holy Communion, that they are taking and eating the true body of Christ that hung upon that cross under the veil of bread, and that in that chalice they are discerning correctly the priceless gift of God's blood, his life, which is the new covenant, the new testament in his blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. The world looks at them and sees only poverty. The world sees the contents of that chalice as being nothing but poverty. But the poor in spirit understand that within that chalice they taste the priceless forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
From thy presence. request this morning. Ms. Bonnie asked that we pray for Joy Snyder Smith, who has a broken femur, so we'll pray for her as well. Peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace that is from above and through the well-being of the churches of Christ and the godly unity of all Christendom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for those who in faith, piety, and the fear of God offer their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Matthew and Eric, our shepherds and bishops in Christ, and all pastors and teachers and all people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation, all our people, for our president, Congress, our governor, and the legislature of Alabama, for our judges and magistrates, and all who serve in public office, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and the sorrowing, for those who mourn, for those who are in need of distress, for the homebound and the infirm, especially we pray for Alice and Craig, Becca and Joyce, for Mary and Mark, Eddie and Norma, Kim and Suzette, for Janine and Sugar, for Brooke and Janice, Taylor and Melissa, for Danny and Tara, Melissa and Bonnie, for Gray and Bob, Martha and Meredith, James and George, Larry, Dean and Earl, for Suzette and Bob, Mallory and Mark, Hank and Jay, for Tracy and Michelle, Carl and Karen, Jimmy and Tina, for Ainsley and Kevin, Ron and Jesse, and Theo and Easton and Waylon and Ron. We also pray for the families of our parish and more, and especially the Tatum and Rogers families, the Faust, and Callie's family, the Todd family, the Bolton and Hyle families, the Rice family, and the Lund and Davis family. We also pray for those in service to our country's armed forces, especially Riley, Paul, Hayden, and Paul. We pray for all of our university students, including me, Aiden, Jacob, Kelsey, and Mia. We pray, Heavenly Father, also for those to whom death is drawing near and for us all. Last hour shall come, we may depart this life in the confidence of the sure faith, consolation of a right, God of holy hope, and in the communion of Christ, holy church. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Calling those who have gone before us in the faith, and rejoicing to share with them the Sabbath rest, which Christ has won for his people, that together with them we may be found faithful in the day of judgment. Rejoice in the day of the resurrection of the dead. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray especially this day for Joy Scheibenson, who has a broken leg. Almighty and everlasting God, the eternal salvation of heaven, that we hear our prayers on behalf of thy servant Joy. We pray that you would be with her and have mercy upon her, and that the fear will you restore her to her former health so that she may render thanks to thee in thy church. We ask this for the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We also pray for peace in the world. Heavenly Father, God of all concord, it is your gracious will that your children on earth live together in harmony and peace. Keep the plans of all those who stir up violence and strife, destroy the weapons of those who delight in war and bloodshed, and according to your will, end all conflicts in the world. Teach us to examine our own hearts that we may recognize our own inclination for envy, malice, hatred, and enmity. Help us by your word and spirit to search our hearts, to root out